Hello, everyone. Hello, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel. Happy birthday, NATO. Happy birthday to you. So 75 years since the North Atlantic Treaty Organization was founded. How come it's got North Atlantic in the name? We had Canada and the United States on one side, and in Western Europe, the United Kingdom, France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Norway, and so on was part of its founding members. Remember, when it was founded, Germany was just coming out of occupation. The Federal Republic of Germany founded in the West, the German Democratic Republic founded in the East under Soviet occupation. Germany wasn't allowed armed forces at all at the time. Only in 1955 was West Germany allowed an army on condition it joined NATO, because otherwise thought they couldn't be trusted within an army. So it's really an anti-Soviet alliance. And the Soviet answer to that was the Warsaw Pact. As Pug Ismay said, NATO was established to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. But obviously the Soviet Union dissolved in 1991. And was it without a role? Well, this bombing Yugoslavia in 1999 over massacres of Kosovo Albanian civilians. There were also NATO missions bombing Libya to stop Muammar al-Qaddafi saving his regime. Had a United Nations Security Council resolution authorizing him to do so. But yeah, come on to Biden's slip-ups. So Biden was there addressing, and there were a number of embarrassing moments when he said the wrong name, tumbleweed moments. I misspeak sometimes, everybody does, but it's very frequent. This is a set piece when you've got a script there. But I know what happens. This is my thought process. I go to the beginning of a sentence and the end of the sentence, and I sometimes jump over the middle and say the thing at the end, or sometimes say the exact opposite of what I mean. And there he's calling Zelensky Putin. Oh, ouch. But Zelensky, being an actor with a sense of timing, his ability to extemporize, manages to turn it into a joke. Or comment calling Vice President Kamala Harris, calling a Vice President Trump, and so forth. So they're becoming more frequent. I mean, I had thought Biden was going to win and so on, but I really had my doubts. I think it like 50% chance, to give him 55% chance before. Is he going to stand? And I give it about a 60% chance then. It becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more Democrats who come out publicly say he's got to withdraw and gives to get someone else with the nomination. Because it's very hard. If even his own party unrounds him, how can we go on? I thought this Republican stuff about him being mentally unfit was exaggerated. And possibly it was a few months ago, but it's not anymore. And obviously Trump has always been mentally unfit. I prefer Biden on a bad day to Trump on a good day. There's a silver lining through the dark cloud shining. Trump's a very evil man, but there would be one good thing about being president, and that would save babies. But let's come back to NATO. So the statement saying it's an irreversible path to NATO membership for Ukraine, but when? There's no date set. I wouldn't be so sure. Is it 32 NATO members now? And remember, even one of them can veto it. Turkey and Hungary are openly skeptical. Slovakia is fairly skeptical, and nobody's going to let them join whilst they've got a hot war with Russia. If it ends in a frozen conflict, Russian forces will be always there. They could always be the odd pop. The skirmish could tell it's a full-scale war. I don't see how Ukraine's going to join. I mean, for decades, unless the situation's completely ended, and I don't see that happening. So I'm actually more pessimistic about this. But they denounce China, saying the Chinese economy is integrated with the Russian war effort and helping them. The Chinese obviously say, oh, this is a lie, which is a flagrant lie from the Chinese brutal regime. One thing is important to underscore that NATO, does not have a position on the Ukraine war against Russia, because remember, Turkey observes the strictest neutrality. Turkey has got no sanctions on Russia whatsoever, and their flights to and from Turkey is a major way for Russians to get to the West, is fly first of all to Turkey, change planes, and fly on to wherever. And indeed, Turkey has facilitated the Russian Air Force air war effort by purchasing dual-use items from Western countries, despite an end-user clause in the contract, as in not for resale, selling it on to Russia and pocketing the difference. And they're very keen to carry on making money this way. It's a very easy way to make a tiny profit for the Turks. Plus, their economy is doing so badly with such high inflation. Erdogan likes to give his options open, this multipolar world. Yes, he's in NATO, but the cordiality between him and Putin is blatant, and Central Asian countries are part of the Soviet Union, Iran, everywhere. A fairly successful NATO summit in Washington, District of Columbia. President Zelensky was there. Now, significantly, some countries from the Pacific were invited: Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, and Japan, which are not NATO members, because since Barack Obama, there's this pivot to Asia, foreseeing China as the main threat there. China creating these artificial islands near the Philippines, which the United States ruled for 45 years, which had American military bases there till 30 years ago. So it's a threat to them. It's a bit of a threat to Vietnam as well. But so the United States doesn't have the military strength to have a strong posture in both Europe and Asia at the same time. Asia matters more. But why? It's further away from the United States. But okay, there's an awful lot of trade with China, but also places like Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, everywhere. So the moment there's no talk of these Far Eastern countries joining NATO. And some have sent military aid to Ukraine. New Zealand has trained Ukrainians. They sent trainers over to the United Kingdom to train them. They sent money, weaponry. So has Japan. South Korea so far has only sent money and humanitarian aid, no lethal aid. There's talk about changing that after what Russia did with North Korea. Relations between South Korea and Russia were often satisfactory. Now, Seoul often did this partly to make sure that Russia wasn't too helpful to North Korea, helping the People's Democratic Republic of Korea develop their satellite technology, longer range and more accurate missiles and things like that. But Russia's so desperate for everything, that's why they're trying to curry favor with the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, DP, not North Korea, North of Korea, RK, DPRK. So the summit is going to end. Keir Starmer is there for the first time. First time he's met Biden in person since Keir Starmer kissed hands and became prime minister on the 5th of July this year, so just a week ago today. But yeah, the mental declension of Biden is plain to see and is worrying. Of course, in the unlikely scenario, well, fairly unlikely scenario, he is re-elected president, the declension will only accelerate. And the Republican argument will be vote Biden, get Harris. And she's more unpopular than him because he won't be able to see out a second term. If he doesn't die, nevertheless, his health may deteriorate to such an extent that he feels obliged to resign. Or the cabinet can even depose him lawfully, according to the Constitution, though it's never happened thus far. So I'm glad that NATO is there, going to continue to exist for a long time. Countries are clamoring to join. Ukraine would like to join. In Moldova, some people want to join, but officially they've got neutrality in their constitution. That'll be difficult to overturn. Some in Georgia would like to join. Some in Armenia even talk about joining. It's a long way off. But remember, you've got to contribute. You can't just be a liability. You've got to be an asset. What have you got in terms of forces? And are you in a strategically important position? Things like that. So the NATO summit is closing. But I think some of this was weasel words, and I think there's rather insincere promises to Ukraine. And yes, they are giving more military aid and stuff like that, but they really need these more air defenses they're pleading with. They need about 12 to cover their territory, Ukraine. They've got two and they're getting another four. When are they getting the four? It takes too long. So, you know, the United States has got at least is it 25 of these in stock and could give them to Ukraine now. But the Americans say, we don't have enough. They only produce about 12 Patriot systems a year. So they can produce those and replace more than replace the ones they've given away straight away. I suppose they could ramp up production. What else? Finally, the F-16s getting there, the Fighting Falcons, donated by the Netherlands, Denmark. Well, after a year of training, has it been a bit slow? Obviously, it's not been a complete game changer, but it will help, certainly. And, you know, Poland said it's considering shooting down Russian missiles over Ukrainian territory. Remember, the United States and the UK did this for Israel. So a lot of Western countries could do this. France could do this, not even have their troops stationed in Ukraine, have them stationed in Slovakia, Hungary, Poland, Romania, and so forth, and shoot down these Russian missiles. So just think about it. If Ukraine had really good air defense, Russia is a stalemate at sea. Russia's Black Sea Fleet, a third has been either sent to the bottom or else disabled, and they can scarcely leave port. On land, the Russians are crawling forward, facing horrendous casualties, which are unsustainable. They're sustainable for a few months, maybe a couple of years, but they're not sustainable for a decade. So that's almost a stalemate, slightly in Russia's favor at the moment. But then the war in the air would also be a stalemate. I mean, Ukraine is obviously inflicting some damage on some minor Russian cities near the border. Which we'll be able to carry on doing because Russia's air defense is not going to improve. But if Russia could cause little or no damage to Ukrainian cities, then that's it. And Russia wouldn't see a way to do this war. Who should replace Biden? difficult to say. Maybe Gavin Newsom. Those are loathsome and evil man in his own way. Right, anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.